B-Pod Studios.
We're Boston's most listened to sports station. You don't have to be in Boston to listen. Download the Sports Hub app where you get your apps and listen anywhere to Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare. And why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Senior Bowl was part of it. It was definitely a move up competitively, but you know, I played a couple SEC teams, and this workout was pretty, you know, was pretty good as well. It was a pretty athletic guy with good size and smart. So he does a lot of things, has a lot of good tools to work with. You know, he's got a long way to go, like every player does, comes into the NFL. But you know, look forward to working with him.
Really, really?
Just went.
Oh my! UT Chattanooga to the first round. Hey,
how about that? And we wasted our time watching him thinking he'd be at 104, hey. Maybe.
It really does sound like a couple guys in the back of a limo with, like, throwing money around, lighting cigars, going, ah. We thought the guy would be around at 104. This schmuck took him.
All of a sudden, he's Mark Jamelli.
Ah, Nick, yeah, you were always my number 44 pick. When they were handing out kids, you were a nice Mr. Irrelevant.
That is an interesting moment of what seemed like pure honesty. It was like an honest laugh out of them.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't believe it was happening. And now this morning, there's, you know, obviously that clip has gone viral. Mike Giardi seems to think it's being misinterpreted. He said, I think we've missed the point on this. The point is that McVay thought they had a chance to get Strange and were laughing at the time they sent studying the player only to see him go well before they pick. And consider how well the Rams evaluate and draft. I'd be happy they like Strange. No, but they thought he would get him in the fourth round.
This is very funny to me. Like, I get it. You're a fan of the Patriots. But, I mean, come on. Sometimes things happen that don't go your way. And this was two guys that sound like they were a couple in. I mean, even Bert thought they sounded like they had a couple.
Well,
they were at the facility.
Well, let me just tell you this, Fred. Like, this morning, you know, just without even knowing who it was, he showed, and you know, Bert's plugged into everybody. He just held up his phone, and it was all of these texts just saying, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
LOL, I can't believe this. And these are all, you know, from people in the industry that he's been, you know, speaking with.
Yeah,
not just us saying it. There are people in the NFL that are completely mystified by
but
this.
But it's funny that, like, they're going, what? Because I read you the guy from New Hampshire that was saying the same thing. He's like, they're like, you know, talking about, like, what a wise, unexpected pick it was. And it's like, no, it's not. It sounds like, you know, like in those movies when the dudes, you know, are going to, you know, when some idiot wins the lottery and they're sitting in the back of a limousine with just laughing their heads off with cigars.
And these aren't idiots doing this either. These aren't people who know nothing about football. These are champions right now. And Mike McVay or McVay right now is the guy who Sean McVay is who everyone looks now. I mean, when you say best coaches in football, you know, McVay's always in the top five now.
Sure, obviously. And so what you would, so, and we mentioned this with Bert, is I don't like doing this because it's kind of lame, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is that, like, is this sort of, like, finally, after, you know, a really admirable amount of time, is this, like, kind of systematic of the changing of the guard? Like, is this, are those off-the-cuff comments by two young executives about something an old man did kind of like a sign of, you know, Bill's just not the guy anymore? And Bill had an unprecedented run, and it a very, very, very long run. Jesus, he's been coach. He's more than half of McVay's life. He's been coaching this team. And so, which pisses me off because McVay's not only short, he's also very young. which makes him even look younger.
Yeah.
But I wonder if this is like kind of like you know, Bill's not the guy anymore.
We'll put it this way, Fred. At the end of the season, you are going to think one extreme or the other about Bill Belichick. If let's say that this all collapses around him, and this everything about bringing in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and drafting this guy well before he ever needed to be drafted, if this all collapses,
not having enough talent on the roster,
you could say, well, it's finally gone. He's lost it.
The owner isn't going to stand for more than one more year.
You can finally say it. But on the other side of it, let's say everything happens to work, despite what the F-ness of every move he's made, it seems like, this offseason. You're going to look at him and just go, I can't believe he knew and nobody else did.
Okay,
this guy, we already know that he's the best coach in football. But he's went next level genius with what he was able to do this offseason.
All right. He screwed up this pick. There's no way of rectifying it. There's nothing about this pick that's not screwed up. He screwed it up. It's not the way you do things. Even if this kid becomes a very good guard.
Real quick before you say that, I'm just going to give you the rosiest interpretation of what happened last night. This is the eternal optimist. I'm the fanboy of the fanboy, what you could think. You could think that this was the best guard left, and all of the other positions, they believe there was no difference between pick number 21 and where their next pick is going to be.
The rest of the league didn't believe that.
That is true. Yep. But let's say
that doesn't matter. I'm at a table with 31 other people and I'm reading them. That's not the way you play the draft. You play the draft by reading the table, by reading the other teams. By that's when you take players.
That's right. Regardless of what you think about the draft board, if your guys keep getting picked off the board, you have to adjust.
They said what Bill did is the same as when Grandpa leaves the house and goes to the post office wearing only a jacket and tidy whities. Like, it's just like an old man.
You just hope there's not a stain in the back, because that just adds to even more humiliation.
So I was not watching the NFL Network one in real time. I was watching ESPN.
I didn't either. I need my Kuiper.
Yeah, of course. Yep. And then I switched over to NBC Sports Boston. And as I said, both of them, apparently on the NFL Network, and I'll see if we can pull it off.
NBC Sports Boston had the draft?
They had reaction to the Patriots.
In real time,
yeah, yes. And it was actually great because, you know, all of them seem to think the exact...
it wasn't a good pick.
No, Phil Perry said this is not a modern-day NFL draft pick.
It's a non-premier position, and you took, like, the fourth best guy at a non-premier position in the first round. It's a dumb pick. There's no way to justify it.
But, Mike, I want to see if you can find this, because apparently when the NFL Network announced it, there was just a lot of laughing and no analysis.
Yeah, I this sounds like the old man has lost it. I think that this is it. I think that this is the symbol of, like, the old man's lost it. Because he screwed up this pick. Now, Rich, you have to play football games. They did spend a lot of money last offseason. And, you know, you got a kid who showed that he could be a pretty good quarterback. So maybe they make the playoffs. There's no guarantee that they won't. But... he's royally screwed up this offseason. So unless today he is more like unless today he screwed up that pick last night. He did. It's over. There's no conditions on it.
He didn't have to pick it when he did. Absolutely. Right.
And so unless he puts on a master class today.
He can mitigate the damage by moving around a little bit and picking up guys if guys fall and snap.
The best player they got last year, what did he do? He traded up for him. So, like, they fell in love with Barrymore. Why did he trade up for the Zion kid?
I don't know.
Why didn't he try to...
I don't know. That's why you traded a fifth for a sixth and a seventh. You had extra draft capital to move around a little bit.
For a non-premier position, you took, like, the fourth best guard in the draft. What a dumb pick.
Let's go to Shu on line four. Is this Shukri who calls in every once in a while? What's up, Shu?
Yes, it is indeed. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
I'm honestly really fed up with Patriots Twitter this morning. And the point that I've been making since early this morning is the fact that, one, my issue isn't with Cole Strange personally. My issue is the fact that, yes, guard is a position of need, But Strange is not a first round talent. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I'm like a draft expert, but
no. But he was. But
nobody thinks he was.
No, you don't have to be a draft expert. No one's board had him. We all know no one's board had him as a first round talent. So go ahead.
And the other thing about that was the Patriots have a need a linebacker, and I went back into my Twitter archive and I mentioned back in February that a guy that I personally had my eyes on was Devin Lloyd out of Utah. He got drafted at number 27 last night by Jacksonville.
Devin Lloyd out of Utah was a guy that a lot of people had mocked for the Patriots, saying that he was a perfect fit for the Patriots.
There were a bunch of guys. Trent McDuffie was mocked to the Patriots. Quay Walker was mocked Kair Elam was mocked to the Patriots. Devin Lloyd, all those guys were mocked to the Patriots, and all those guys went in the gap of time where they traded down from 21 to 29.
Yeah, they screwed up yesterday. All right. They did.
Let's go to Paul on line three. Paul, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Wait.
So, I think regardless, even if this pick works out, I'm just trying to figure out why somebody. I think he was 77 average draft position, something like that. Why wouldn't we get like an actual first round talent and then just bank on him being available in the second round?
Or someone entirely commiserate to his talent, in that if you're labeled a third round guard talent, like the guy who's like the next one is so far behind you. It's a non-premier position. It's a position that they've had success late in drafts picking up guys, and it just didn't need to be done. It's a mistake. And thankfully, I have run across no one online nor on the phones who disagrees.
I need to find out whether or not Matt Patricia was at like a private workout for this guy. I keep coming back to
They weren't at the Senior Bowl.
That's right. They weren't there to watch it. But this does just reek of a Matt Patricia move. He's going to be the one spending time with him. Doesn't it feel that way?
I won't deny it. It's someone dumb. And Patricia's pretty dumb.
Right. It's like Bill Belichick's too smart to do this.
And I know why they did it. And like the thing is, I know how they justified it to themselves. And I'll repeat it one last time. Is that they got rid of Karras and Shaq Mason. So they get rid of the two of them.
Which they shouldn't have.
Obviously now. I mean, and Karras was like a dollar. So they get rid of those two guys. So they go, all right, we're going to go guard in the draft. And they go they think, all right, where we have these guys projected, they go in with the mistake of thinking we need to take a guard, which is already you're thinking wrong. So, other people have made this point. Everything goes wrong in front of them. They trade back and center goes, a couple guards go, and now they're panicking going, we got to take a guard. This kid is the next guard on our board. Now, he's probably 30 picks or 30 players deep into the people that haven't been selected that are still on our board. But we need to get this guard. We can't afford for another pick to go by without us getting him. They put themselves in this position where they panicked. And that's why they screwed up.
I like the way John on line one is thinking. He's trying to find some good things about the Cole pick. John, what's up, man? What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, like you, I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole thing and just looking, trying to find it from like a what the heck was Belichick thinking angle. And the one thing that I found was Jim Nagy was the director of the Senior Bowl, former New England scout. We all know how, guys, Bill Belichick has a pass with.
And it never works out.
They would call and say, hey, take this kid at linebacker. You know, that's the guy they would have took. So
right.
The only thing I can see is that Nagy get in his ear and said, listen, and the way it reads is that good athlete, great-looking trim, real physical, strong hands, very tenacious player, and coachable.
You know how you know the last time that we heard of Bill Belichick getting someone in his ear and telling him all this inside information was N'Keal Harry. That was the last time that we heard about that and Bill overruling his scouting staff. Mm-hmm. You do not in the first round take the third or fourth best guard in the draft.
Yeah.
You don't. It's not a premier position, and there cannot be that much different in talent between this kid and whatever other jabroni is going to be around when you pick the second round or third round.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one thing we're hearing about this guy is that obviously he's, you know, got gusto and moxie and he likes to fight and he eats meat, you know, red meat and only red meat and all this stuff. I mean,
right.
I'm not kidding you. The word rugged has been used 1,000 times.
Old school
that he uses this mouth guard that he doesn't even boil and one of the face masks has just got the one bar down the middle. I mean, no gloves, so he's like a super-duper mountain man. I can tell that this sounds like something that would have seduced Matt Patricia in an interview. That would be like, oh, yeah, this is the kind of... This is what
culture
we need.
Kid. It's a culture.
We got a culture kid here. And
Smash Mouth. Yeah.
And not to repeat myself, but this morning Mike Giardi said a text from an AFC East coach on Cole Strange. They said a positive is that he eats, drinks, and sleeps football. Concerns, can struggle with pass sets, even against lower level competition. And then I say, just because you eat, sleep, and breathe football doesn't mean you're a great player. And as I said, you described Mike Reese there. Like, right. Mike Reese does that, but he couldn't play football. Anyone can be a guy who just loves the game, but you got to actually have the chops. I mean, can struggle with pass sets against lower level
competition? Yeah, by the way, if you're 6'7", 315, and love football and it's all you care about, and you suck enough to go to University of Chattanooga, there's a big problem. So, look it. It's a bad pick.
it's weird,
it's,
man.
It's a bad pick.
But everything's weird. Does that not, you know what? Should we have predicted this? With everything that's gone on since the end of the season, should we not have predicted some sort of bat crap?
Not like this.
Nothing's being done the way that...
Not a run like this.
Not like this.
I mean, isn't this the hiring of Matt Patricia to be your offensive line coach move of the draft? Isn't this the, we're going to get the loser coach who is ahead of a guy and Daniel Jones, who was supposed to be groomed to be this great quarterback, who ended up losing it? Isn't this that move to bring him in to work on your offense with Mac Jones type of draft move? It's everything's the equivalent of just awful head scratchiness. I can't figure out anything that's been going on.
Bill's
going
to make it work, though. You watch.
I don't get any of it.
Make it work.
I haven't got.
So what? He's going to make it work. He's got a guard.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, well, 10-year guard.
Now they'll never lose. Never lose.
Never again.
I'd like it better if they got the guy, if they got the guard. Instead, they got a guy. And congratulations to them. When there was women in cornerbacks, which is a premier position. And like Bert said, if you knew you had this guy to fall back on, take a chance on one of these guys that maybe if they weren't a little banged up would have gone much higher in the draft. I mean, there was a lot of skill. There was a lot of skill on the board. I don't even know why you traded back.
Is a 5-year starter in college a bonus?
Rich, I'm going to say that's not a bonus.
He was
at all.
A 6-year player.
Yeah, he's almost 24.
And a 5-year starter at Chattanooga.
Yeah, he's because he transferred from Air Force. He got the extra year. Yeah, this is bad.
Is this the Brandon Whedon treatment?
No, this Whedon was 28, man. That's a little different.
This is Peter Kiss, dude.
Yeah, it's Peter Kiss. This is the football.
This is Peter Kiss. This is like the 40-year-old freshman.
Peter Kiss going to work out for the Celtics next.
And by
week.
The way, this isn't a slam.
I'll go too.
This isn't a slam. Cole Strange. This is just the
Uncle Strange wants to do play football.
Yeah,
he lucked out.
He did. This is a description of someone who should have gone in the fourth, probably the fourth round. But I mean, you expect more of a first round pick. You expect them to be ready to go week one, playing for your team.
Yeah, and when it's a non-premium position, you want the guy, a guy with zero. Downside, the guy, a guy whose floor is that doesn't have a floor. You just solid. This is the guy. There's no way he fails. And that's for center, for guard, for interior linemen. That's what you want. And I mean, you made a mistake. Now look, you got picks today. Maybe you know. You can fill in some spots, but there's no debating that they made a mistake last night, and I know why they did it, and their thinking was wrong, and then they panicked. And you're probably right. It probably was Patricia. And Belichick was probably at the Daffodil Festival.
What's that called?
Daffy.
Okay, good.
They call it Daffy.
Probably right. A Daffy. Yeah. Just, you know.
Party at Bill's house.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'd be very frustrated if I'm a Patriots fan about how this has been going for quite some time.
Gave us some content, though. My goodness. Mm-hmm. I talk about
the draft for 2 weeks. I love it. Yeah. I'll talk about the draft. And believe me, the Jets win the draft every year the day after, and they always end up sucking. So I don't believe me. I'm not all fired up about them. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
An invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We just do it. Go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mr. Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah.
That brother put out a tweet today. We ain't talking about it today because we at the NFL draft. Let me look into the audience and say this. Oh, you thought I had stuff to say before. Wait until First Take tomorrow. I'ma save it. I'ma save it. I'ma marinate on what this brother had the audacity yep. to put on social media today. I'ma let it marinate. I want to emphasize Molly Kierum doesn't have anything to do with this. The ESPN executives don't have nothing to do with this.
Oh, the
producers,
right
the great Sam Tanucci, Lewis, James Dunn, and the whole crew, they have nothing to do with this. Put that camera on. Come on, right here. Tomorrow on First Take,
I love him.
This brother right here gonna put up this stuff on social media to say the stuff that he said. I'ma let it marinate for the next 24 hours. If ever the cuffs came off on First Take, it's coming off tomorrow. I can't wait. I don't even want to sleep.
I'm a bottom
feeder. Fred. I mean, give credit where credit is due. That's a great big market tease.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
That's a great.
Oh, out of all of them, he's the great. He's the greatest. I don't make fun of him.
I'm a bottom feeder.
I like Stephen A. Smith. I don't understand the time slot that he's on and how that's commiserate to his income.
He couldn't have been cooler when we had him in studio. Like, yeah, he was great because we had done one of those brackets, and it was like for like the most aggravating sportscaster, worst sportscaster, and he was one of the finalists, I believe. And we told him that when he came in. He goes, just in all fairness, you know, we had this thing and it was voted on by the listeners. And he was great. He goes, I'm not for everybody. You know, and he was fantastic. He knows what he's doing and he's laughing all the way to the bank. But I thought that was just great.
All right. So we have been so busy with the draft. There is new Czarface music.
Oh, really?
That we were sent that references the show.
Nice. Is this something that's going to be on an album, or is this just like an exclusive?
Yes. It is going to be on an album. It references Brookline 911 and our Mike Gorman interviews.
Awesome. Do we have it?
I just sent it to Mike. The draft is so. This was such a great day. Rip the Patriots. I was a little behind.
Well,
and I know what happened. The National Grid guys, big fans of the show.
Okay. Oh, cool. Nice.
So what has happened is, I told you they installed a new, the new thing right in the yard a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the gas line or whatever.
Yesterday they turned off the old gas line. And turned on the new gas line, but the new gas line is not hooked up to our home.
Makes sense.
Okay. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is what gives in the Toucher House, where it is now 55 degrees.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Good. Are they working on it right now? Are they jackhammering?
Yes. And they're not jackhammering. They're in the backyard. But there are people working in my daughter's room, which I was not aware that were coming by. But hey, It's the more the merrier.
Can you ask them to install your batting cage while they're back there?
No, that is a process that begins on Wednesday.
Oh, very man. Nice.
That is a process that begins on Wednesday. Okay. And yes, the most I've ever spent on anything that was not a jewelry for my wife, maybe on two occasions I will be spending for this batting cage situation in the backyard.
Something, by the way, that is underrated that, you know, at least here, I'm sure in other parts of the country, many people are talking about it. We're just obsessed with our man Cole Strange. Strange 69, as the jersey's going to say, is what happened, of course, yesterday when it came to the two big trades regarding wide receivers. You know, you had, obviously, the Eagles getting A.J. Brown. Eagles aggressive yesterday, getting A.J. Brown.
Weird. Very weird move to me. I don't know what they need with him. They were very happy. Apparently, A.J. Brown and the quarterback over there, who I can't think of off the top of my head, are friends.
Well, the thing is with A.J. Brown, I mean, the guy got also, as soon as the deal was done, it was announced that he got a $100 million contract.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you... With all the talent that comes out year after year in the draft, I mean, why would I give a guy $100 million?
I guess that the inside word is that the Titans, as much as they liked A.J. Brown, offered him a ton of money. He wouldn't take it, and the $100 million was more than the Titans were willing to offer.
The going rate for a top wide receiver has dramatically changed in the last 3 weeks.
But John, that's going to correct itself. I think that
But that's the reason for the contract.
Right. No, I know.
It's the flavor of the year, the wide receiver position. Sure.
Yes, because everything logical would run counter to that.
Yeah.
Because what would logically happen is I would say, well, why would I possibly pay you? There's... What, you know, a dozen receivers a year that come out that
especially
turn out to be
year,
good?
Yes.
Especially last year. I mean, you're going to have Hall of Famers, I mean, all over that class.
Yeah.
You might have three Hall of Fame wide receivers out of that class last year.
You might. You take and a look. So, I mean, yeah, just from what we know of the ones who already in their rookie year played well.
Now, it's funny because I was listening to other state sports talk radio, and they were like, I would want Deebo Samuel, but I didn't want Tyreek Hill. And to that, I would say, I would not want Deebo Samuel at all. Deebo Samuel, what makes him special, he doesn't want to do anymore, so I don't want that. Tyreek Hill has a skill set that I don't know if anyone else in the NFL has. So maybe and plus he's a great guy. But when it comes to skill sets, Tyreek Hill is maybe the only guy I'd overspend on. Because I figure I can pick up a kid in the draft and pay him, you know, pennies on the dollar to what you want. So that A.J. Brown trade, because it's not like Philadelphia is a receiver away. I felt that to be an odd trade.
Maybe they're just given what's Jalen Hurts. Maybe they're just giving him a true look to see if you can't do well with what we put around you, it's time to move on.
It's time to find out whether or not he's their quarterback.
It's a very expensive way of getting that done.
It is. But the trade that I think was even more intriguing was the Cardinals getting Hollywood Brown from the Ravens. I think it was pick number 23 that they gave him because Lamar Jackson is pissed. If you take a look at his Twitter yesterday, he was retweeting people, including one that said, "What the effing F, bro? We traded away Hollywood with a bunch of broken hearts." And and from everything I'm reading now is that Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown were really, really close. Like, these guys were good friends. I think they're both from Florida. There's some sort of bond there.
Yeah,
as well.
By the way, now's not the time to be pissing off Lamar Jackson.
There's no question.
Because Lamar Jackson is under no responsibility to play for your organization this year.
So I don't know what's going on. What did they end up using that pick for? What did the Ravens end up doing with that
right
pick?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the draft.
Hollywood Brown tweeted yesterday. He said, "I wish I could have played with my brother forever, but I'm going to see you at the top." And Lamar Jackson retweeted it and just put like a bunch of like, you know, cross finger emojis. But
they took a center from Iowa. They took the center.
Yes.
The center from Iowa, Tyler Linderbaum.
Ah, I see. So, yes. I mean, it was definitely, that part of it was interesting. But it's weird, Fred. I'm watching all of these, you know, talking head shows that are on ESPN and all that. You know, right after those stories, it's the Cole Strange story.
Yes.
It's the what did the Patriots just do? So,
it's
I mean,
the smartest team doing the dumbest thing.
it truly is. Or what seems, at least on the surface, inexplicable. Like, I don't know how anyone can explain with a straight face what they were able to do.
Lockhart, who, I think the Raiders got killed. Someone got killed for overdrafting a lineman, a tackle last year. It's like Leatherwood or something.
Oh yeah, Alex Leatherwood. He was a starting left tackle for Alabama.
Yeah, all right. So and he was supposed to be like what? Like a late first round pick that got taken in the middle of the first round? Like something like that. All right, so that was like the big moron pick. I mean, they weren't off three rounds.
Right.
And by the way, that's a left tackle.
Yeah.
Which is a premier position.
And exactly. He also ended up being really good, Fred.
Yes, I know. So, that can happen. But you're reaching for a left tackle, not reaching for an effing guard. The third guard off the board in the first round of the NFL draft. When some drafts, you're not a guard to be found in the first round.
So Lamar Jackson tweeted WTF last night as well, just straight up that. And then just moments after that, he retweeted a Baltimore Ravens thing that said, "Welcome to Baltimore, Tyler Linderbaum." And he put, "It's not about my new center. Stop that BS." So I think that, obviously there's a lot of people saying
he doesn't want to piss the guy off.
He doesn't want to piss the guy off. He's going to be protecting him.
Yeah. He's going to have his hands in his balls the whole season.
Sure. So,
I'll tell you this: if I'm the Ravens, I don't want to anger him because I haven't picked up his option.
Well, that situation's a mess because he wants, just like we got from Deshaun Watson, he wants a fully guaranteed contract. But what makes this thing so sticky is that he doesn't have an agent, and the amount of. Feelings that can be hurt when you don't have an intermediary. You know what I mean?
There's a reason you pay for an agent. I mean, it's
you don't have to look them in the eye and someone say no.
It's also that you can have at least a quasi fake, amicable relationship with someone. Like, you can both pretend not to know what the other is saying about one another.
The clock is running, as you were saying. They didn't pick up the option. He's going to be a free agent after this coming season. So you figure, because he's going to be playing this coming season, you got to get this deal done by the end of training camp.
You know, why can't, if you're Lamar Jackson, go to one of these companies and say to them, okay, I'm going to get $200 million somewhere. I'm going to get $200 million. You know I'm going to get $200 million.
I'm a former MVP, for God's sake.
Wouldn't you rather have 2% of $200 million? I thought, they get two. Okay, then I would say, wouldn't you rather have 1% or half percent?
It's been negotiated. So the agent fees are the agent fees.
So, but can't he negotiate agent fees?
No.
No,
that's why it's 2%.
Yeah.
That's league-wide, then, is what you're saying?
Yes, and I found that to be very disturbing because we can negotiate agent fees. I wish that there was a rule, though, that they had to be 2%. That I wish.
Yeah, well.
But, I know a guy who was a player agent, and if it's not 2%, it's 3%.
I didn't realize 2% or 3% was a standard. I didn't know that if you have an agent, that's what you have to give up? That's interesting.
It's the rule. That's as much as they can get, and it's been negotiated. Unless the guy's lying to me, but I mean, I had a whole long conversation with him about it, so I believe that is the case. All right, Rich, what's coming up with the old stack of roots?
All right, I want to hear a little bit of the Czarface song where he drops a little shout out to us. On top of that, a certain movie I've been dying to see is being called the best blockbuster in years. Let's just say Top Gun got its first screening this past weekend.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oil them up and put some dungarees on.
Time to play with the boys.
Except this time they're throwing a pigskin.
Hey.
All right, so we'll be...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack.
We are Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Real quick, just a couple things that are important that we didn't get to today. First of all, so with the Lightning losing last night and the Bruins winning, they could still be playing not the Carolina. Like I know we all thought yesterday that it was most likely going to be that way, but Toronto may be on the horizon for these guys. What's the scenarios right now? Because I know tonight is the last game.
Bruins are 1 point behind Tampa with one game left. Bruins are in Toronto, of all places, tonight. Tampa visits the Islanders a half an hour later. Bruins have to win. A Bruins win and a Tampa loss in regulation or in overtime. The Bruins are the three.
Okay. Now, do you
and that means they play
Toronto.
Yeah, but if you're Cassidy, do you play your starter?
No,
well, I think the Bruins have called up four guys from Providence today, so he's not going to play.
They are not playing Tampa Bay.
Toronto, by the way, apparently is going to sit a bunch of their regulars too, because they have had nothing to play for a while. They've been locked into second place in the division, so it's still very possible they could win in Toronto tonight.
I don't know. I just think that if they don't play Toronto, I'm going to end up back in this loony bin.
They're both funny, though. Both matchups are entertaining. You know, Toronto for, you know, of course, Toronto reasons.
Well, Toronto scarf-wearing idiots out on the square watching on TV.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then, you know, what are we going to do with this whole... Are we going to have to start all over again if for some reason both sides advance? And then you've got that guy calling our program director 11 times again?
Nice. Did we ever mention that he called 11 times?
No, we didn't call. We said that he called, but we found out yesterday that he called our program director 11 times.
The guy in North Carolina that said he was going to kick my ass... While he was saying he was going to kick my ass, left messages for our program director 11 times. What's his name, the guy again?
Kyle Bailey.
He'd be like, Rick Radzik, Kyle Bailey, we need to sit and talk. If you don't call me back, I'm calling you my next break. And then he called him at like 8 o'clock at night. Rick still doesn't know how he got his number.
11 times.
He called him 11 times. He's insane. I'm the insane one, which is... But I don't call people 11 times.
I don't think there's ever been a situation where I've called anyone 11 times within a couple-hour period.
Hey, and Rich, the reason he wants to kick my ass is because I called his producer once and told him to F off.
Well, after he had texted you.
Yeah. But I didn't call his producer 11 times.
11 times. When he told me that, I was like, oh. See, at first I thought he was just like, you know, kind of a douche, but that's crazy stuff.
Yeah,
like,
he's crazy. I mean, I don't know what he thinks he's accomplishing.
Real quick.
He's going to screw around and get himself in trouble.
Let's go. Can we just take Tyler's call real quick? Tyler, what's up, man? What did you do yesterday?
Oh, so from about 4 to like 5:30, I tried calling in a bunch to Kyle. Then he wouldn't pick up. I think they knew it was a Massachusetts number. And then I called like the main thing on the like their main hub. And some woman picked up, and I told her, tell Kyle, you know, he's a pussy little hick out there.
So, he's just weird.
Got the message, hopefully, but today's another day. We're trying again.
Right, Thank you, Tyler.
Tyler, you're doing God's work.
I'm sure he was loaded with guests yesterday, but, yeah, he's a real weirdo. Well, if we never told you that, that's my fault. Yeah, 11 times he called our program director. With, I guess, the hope of getting me fired, as if my program director was going to go, oh, yes.
He's the one who, like, threatened you.
Oh, yeah. But, yes, you are nobody, and this guy at least makes me money. And you are so powerful. You really have a... What makes it even... There's so many things about it making that crazy. But the idea that he could do something to me is what is really crazy, too. Like know your position in life, dude. You're not... You can't touch me. Don't stop that.
The other thing that's...
That'd be like me, like, I'm going to get, you know, like Sean Hannity fired. No, I'm not. Like, they're not going to listen to me.
I don't... 11 times on his personal cell phone. That is...
This is blah, blah, blah.
We got to have a sit down.
You're going to sit and talk to me. you're going to sit down and talk to me is what the maniac... said. All big maniac. And by the way, at least when we talk about him, it's supposed to be funny. His stuff is kicking my ass and yelling at our program director.
Well, that's just the lack of any kind of wit. I mean, that's...
Well, I know, but it's like an amazing that you like you for 20 hours you're supposed to entertain an audience a week and you can't turn anything into anything remotely self-deprecating.
We gave you a gift. It was a gift. You could have had fun with this.
Yeah, go on and on and on about what a psycho and loony bin fella I am, and God, I don't care.
All right, so
I told you, I deserve it.
This is interesting. Because Czarface in Esoteric sent, I'm just now hearing it for the first time. I know nothing about it, other than, of course, he sends a shout-out.
Yesterday, Esoteric, who is part of the collective Czarface with Inspector Deck from Wu-Tang Clan, have a new album coming out. Dude, I was so into this draft. All right, they have a new album coming out, Czarmageddon.
Oh, nice.
It is available now. It is available at all your streaming services
today?
Now.
Today? Okay.
Today, yes. Today, yes. And there's lunch boxes. If you're into you could really fall into their merch.
Their merch is insane.
If you like collecting, it's good stuff. And so I don't know if how much Mike got a chance to listen to
these. Yeah, yeah. So he found the TNR reference. Let's take a listen. Yes, speaker. Humping these sneakers. Tell the werewolves that werewolves. It gets deeper than a fang and skin. Used to hang on the whim. Call me Hank Pym. My size will change on the whim. They're down 9-1 in Brookline when I cook rhymes in the Corvette. I'm focused on the green like TNR with Mike Gorman. Early in the morning. Trust me when I tell you. Picking up after my dogs is more rewarding than the bonus you're recording. I rap rough and do dad stuff like sledding with the kids and make the local news while you act up. I love that. He got a Brookline 911 in there. He got Mike Gorman with us. Very nice. Very nice.
Talking about people calling the cops when kids are sledding.
Yes, yep. Of course. Hey, so what is the... It's weird. Yesterday, there was this breaking news story that came out, and it said, hey, despite what everyone was saying, Massachusetts Senate did pass the sports betting bill. Unfortunately, the only thing is at least college sports out, but it has been passed. And I'm like, okay, great. And now... I'm hearing that it has to be voted on again.
It's passed in the House. It was passed in the Senate. Now it has to pass in the House.
All right. Is it going to pass in the House?
I have no idea.
This is all a nightmare.
I'm guessing no.
Yeah, right. This is all just a nightmare.
By the way, my dog jumped over a 6-foot fence.
Oh, my God.
It really did. My dog actually cleared a 6-foot fence.
I think it's done it before, right? Haven't you told us that?
No.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. No, that's crazy. Got over it clean.
Oh, my God.
Because I just hit a guy go, dude, I got your dog.
Oh, my God.
Jumped over the fence.
Oh, that's...
Well, wait. How'd the neighbor track your dog down if it's jumping over a 6-foot fence?
It saw the neighbor and then was like, cool.
Oh, okay.
Like, calm down.
Okay. Jesus, but, like, Fred.
Wow, that's pretty athletic. I gotta give Lemmy a hand for a female athlete.
Oh, and by the way, everybody is freaking out, and I mean it. Like, you can find articles everywhere. The new Top Gun has people losing their minds. They say that it's like everything a blockbuster should be. There hasn't been one negative review that I've seen. I guess there's no screwing around. It's right into the action.
Good.
And they say that the cameras that and I've read about this. The cameras that they use for it are next level. It's like a different type of clarity that they've been able to invent, and the first film that's using it is this movie, Top Gun Maverick, which comes out next month, I believe.
And Tom Cruise goes, that's why I was surprised I was invited back, and they said, it's an order, Maverick. Mm-hmm. And then he turns around and shakes his tush and says, I'm an ass man. Come on and get a piece. All right, have a good weekend. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.